Reverend Dr. Michael Ipgrave, Bishop of Lichfield, has sent the following as the address for our service this afternoon, the memorial service for FIPO and civilian internees. I'm very grateful to Canon Patrick Cleary for inviting me to share a few reflections at your annual memorial service, and I salute the commitment of the Catholic Parish of Our Lady and St. Thomas of Canterbury and to the Far East Prisoners of War Committee in keeping before us every year the memory of those brave men and women, military and civilian, who experienced such suffering in the Far East. It is as the child of a former Far East prisoner of war that I offer these reflections, which are very personal. My sister and I are grateful to Peter Wiseman for ensuring that the name of our father, Jeff Ipgrave, is now inscribed in the book of the FIPO Church. We feel truly honored by that. My dad's story can be simply told. Captured at Singapore and put to hard labor on the railway, he experienced terrible conditions of deprivation, overwork, and brutality there. He was fortunate to survive, but his health was permanently damaged, and I believe that what he went through deeply scarred him. How could it not? He did not talk to us often or at length about his years as a prisoner of war, but we do have, as one of our family's most treasured possessions, a sweat-stained, battered little volume stamped with the seal of the Kempeitai, the Japanese military police. It is my dad's copy of A.E. Housman's cycle of poetry, A Shropshire Lad. Unlike the other books he had, including, I regret to say, his Bible, he kept this one from being turned into roll-ups for cigarettes because it meant so much to him. If you know Housman's poetry, you might be surprised by the idea of it comforting anybody. It is unrelentingly bleak and gloomy, with streaks of black humour. But I think there are two things in it which sustains my dad's spirit in those dark days. One was precisely its unflinching honesty and realism, which mirrored the terrible situation in which he and his mates found themselves. He was not looking for false comfort. And certainly he would not find that in Housman. And the other thing a Shropshire lad offered was the beauty of its language, evoking the dreamy pleasures of the English countryside. I think that fed Dad inwardly with the vision and memory of places that he loved, and so it gave him a kind of hope as he longed to go back to visit familiar scenes. Somehow or other, then, he survived his years as a FIPO. He returned to England, met my mum, married and started a family, and lived out an admirable life as a much-loved village head teacher. But what he had seen and known was lodged deep within him, too deep for him to speak of it freely for most of his life. There were two occasions, though, when he opened up about his experiences. One was when my nephew, one of his nine grandchildren, was doing a school project about the Second World War and interviewed his grandfather to ask him about his memories. While he found it very difficult to talk to his children, my dad opened up much more freely to his grandchildren, to the next generation. I think that in that conversation he could have more confidence because there was a security in knowing that life went on. May you see your children's children is one of the blessings spoken in the Bible. The other time my dad really opened up about his experiences was a bit more unusual. When he was 65, my family and I went to live and work for a few years in Japan. During this time, my mum died. And after the funeral, Dad returned with me to spend a few weeks in Japan. It was a remarkable act of courage and imagination on the part of a recently bereaved man to come to a country which in the past has caused such damage to him and his friends. Dad had never, as far as I know, harbored any particular resentment against Japanese people, but nor had he any notably warm feelings towards them. And it must have been with a certain amount of anxiety that he came out to stay with us and to meet the members of the small Japanese Anglican church with whom I was working then. The welcome and the hospitality that community of Japanese Christians extended to him was truly remarkable. And it brought about a deep shift in the way of seeing things. He met with people of his own generation who had experienced in their own country the brutality of the Kempeitai, which he had encountered as a prisoner of war. Anglicans in wartime Japan had been regarded with great suspicion as fifth columnists for the Allies, and the church and its priests had been persecuted as a result. He heard of the hardship and the devastation which ordinary families had undergone in the firebombings of Tokyo. He was deeply moved by a visit to Hiroshima and deeply conflicted, for, as he said to me, had it not been for that terrible nuclear bomb, he might never have been liberated and I might never have existed. Time and time again, with heartfelt sincerity, his host apologized for all that he experienced during his wartime years. Over the few weeks that he was with us in Japan, it felt to me almost as though I could see the mental furniture being shifted around in my father's mind, as a new way of thinking began in him. He would never forget what he and his mates had been through, but he was committed to reconciliation with Japan and Japanese people. And the tangible proof of that was the many new friendships he had formed and which he sustained in the last years of his life. Of course, what happened to my father was personal to him, and other Far East prisoners of war would have different stories to tell. The effect it had on us as a family is personal to us, and other children of FIPOs will have different stories to share too. All I can say is that I and my sister are proud of our father, not only because of his bravery and endurance during the war years, but also because of the way he found a voice to tell his story to a new generation and to turn it into a force for good. And that is a choice which we can all make in life, whatever our experiences and however hurt we are. By God's grace, we can choose to follow the path of forgiveness, peace, and hope, costly as that may be. That is the costly but life-giving way of Jesus Christ, who opens up to us through his death on the cross and through his resurrection. As the letter to the Ephesians says, he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both into one and has broken down the hostility between us. I thank you from my heart for remembering all who suffered so terribly as prisoners of war in the Far East, my father among them. And with you, I pray that we who succeed them in our generation may honor them through working for peace, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now we take a moment of silent reflection.